The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday, and thank you for joining us for another special episode of You're Welcome. You know, here's something you might not be aware of. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. That's not cool. Well, listen up. It's 2018, and baldness can be optional. And Hims is here to help you figure it all out. Hims is the wellness brand for the modern man. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, making men's personal care trusted, easy, and affordable. Hims offers FDA-approved medical-grade products, personalized recommendations, plus convenient, confidential online consultation with a licensed doctor. There's no pharmacy lines, no waiting rooms. The products are shipped directly to your door, and Hims passes big savings along to you, offering prescription and generic for just a fraction of the price. Sound treatment and prevention backed by medicine and science. Look better, feel better, do better with Hims. For listeners of You're Welcome only, you can get a free trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor's office or pharmacy. Just go to forhims.com/Chael for all the details. That's forhims.com/Chael to keep your hair. One more time. That's forhims.com/Chael to get yourself a trial month for just $5. Jacob, good morning.
Good morning.
What's going down?
What's going down, man? Hey, I have a question. I'm all ears. It literally just came up 2 seconds ago.
I'll never know if it didn't. How would I ever know? It was all in your head. You could have thought this yesterday. I can't prove you wrong.
Okay. Fair enough. I just had Ninja Warrior on.
All right.
What would it take for you to get inside that show?
Well, you know, Matt Eisen is on that show. He's the host.
Uh-huh. I'm talking as a competitor, though.
I was just trying to answer your question. I don't know any of that, but I know Matt. So how would I get on it? I guess I would send Matt a text message.
So it sounds like an actual, like, application. Do you qualify even to get on the show? I don't know.
But don't they have
They do have, like, days.
They have their ninjas, though, correct? I mean, I've met some of those guys. I don't know the show very well, so I'm playing along with you a little bit. But they have actual ninjas that are part of the show.
I'm not sure about that. Like, real ninjas?
Well, I don't even know what the word ninja means. When I met Matt and we did the apprentice show, he brought in one of those guys because we were doing something, that some kind of stunt work.
Like someone had won, or who had won the competition at some point.
Well, maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Okay, you know what? I've never seen the show. All right, I was trying to play along because Matt's on it. I'm not familiar with the show. I don't know, but I thought in my own head that it was kind of like a today's version of something I did grow up on called American Gladiators, where you had the gladiators. So what I'm proposing to you all in my mind, knowing nothing, is that they have the ninjas that then these people that I guess you're suggesting, like, I would be one of the people that would compete against the ninjas. Am I wrong? You don't compete against people like American Gladiators? You could just obstacle course?
Well, I would assume if you won, you became a ninja. That's what I'm assuming.
Have you ever seen the show?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yes. Well, am I right? Is it like American Gladiators where you have to go against skilled people that are trained and play in these courses all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, those are the ninjas.
Yeah. You have to train, too. You see what I'm saying, though, right? You can't just walk in.
I understand. I was sharing with you that I had met one of these ninjas one time, and then you kind of challenged me on that topic. So I was laying out my premise, which is that much like the American Gladiators, like, there are people they bring in, but they're expert in those fields. Correct? I'm asking.
Yes. This is a lifelong training thing for a lot of people.
Let's start at the beginning. Do you know we're recording right now?
Yes.
What the hell are we talking about?
It was a question I just wanted to start with.
All right. How would I get on it? I do not know. I imagine you go online. I've actually wondered that for, like, say, Survivor or Big Brother. How do they get these contestants? But it's got to be online, right? I don't think they go out and recruit folks. Maybe they do. I don't think so. I think you must fill out an application and go, hey, look at me. I'd be good for that. Isn't that how you get any job? You turn in some kind of a resume to the appropriate person, I'm guessing.
There's got to be rejections for Survivor, I have to imagine. Like some person who thinks they're a tough ass, and then all of a sudden they're like, no.
It's not as though everybody that applies gets in. Of course there's rejection.
Exactly. So it's got to be like a balance of you would be a weak person. You'd be fun to watch. You think you're tough, but you're not going to make it. So you're going to be fun to watch get kicked off in the first few rounds. There's got to be a process.
Oh, certainly they have some kind of a formula that the casting does where they think this will be good for TV. You've got your likely winners and you've got your, you know, middle of the road, don't belong here at all, slip in a dum-dum. I mean, there has to be, right? I mean, it's television at the end of the day. But, you know, I met a guy once. I was on an airplane and he worked for NBC. And they do The Biggest Loser. Do they still do that? Is that still a show? Have you seen that recently?
I haven't seen it for a while, but I imagine it's not gone.
Okay. At any rate, he worked on The Biggest Loser. And he said there was a cutoff of 500 pounds. If you were over 500 pounds, you could not go on the show. So they were thinking of doing another show for the people that were so heavy that they couldn't make it on The Biggest Loser. And he was laying out for me some of the stuff that they were going to cover. And I don't know how you make multiple seasons out of this, but I did find it fascinating because there were things you would take for granted and never even think of. For example, he just told me this one, but I still remember it to this day. How does a person that's 500 pounds clean themselves? Right? How do they shower and move around and reach? And the answer was really simple, but I still found it very interesting, which is they go in the shower, which has walls. They use liquid soap. They spray the wall with soap, and then they turn around and rub up against it. Well, that makes sense. I get that. That makes perfect sense. But how many other things go on in the day of their life? You know, I was telling about that Andre the Giant documentary just a week ago, but the things that Andre had to go through that we never even considered asking, let alone thinking about. And it was kind of interesting. I don't know. All stories aren't great stories. Well, don't look at me like that. I mean, even
I'm Babe, processing that one.
Even Babe Ruth struck out sometimes. Okay, they're not all home runs. I'm doing the best I can over here.
I'm not saying that was a strikeout at all. I was just in awe of that one.
It is quite interesting, though. You know, and how many other simple things? Tying of your shoes. I don't know how much you eat a day. How do you afford the food?
Yeah.
Those are fair questions. I've seen some of those very large people like Sally Jessica Raphael. I don't know if you remember her. But she used to have a television show, and she liked to bring in, you know, really large people and explain how they lived. And the amount of food they ate in a day, it was absolutely fascinating. A couple cartons of eggs, loaf of bread, turned into French toast. You know, that's your breakfast, then you move on from there. And, I mean, there is things that's very interesting. But, again, do those folks that want to go on The Biggest Loser, do they apply? Is there an embarrassment factor or is there not? Like, hey, man, I don't care if I'm embarrassed or not. If you think you can get some weight off, man, maybe there's a prize at the end of this thing. That's the motivation I need. I don't know the answer to your question. I don't exactly know how you get on those shows. How about those really weird ones? Do you remember that rapper that used to wear the clock around his neck? I would know his name if you said it, but does that ring a bell? That was his big gimmick. He wore a great big clock.
Slightly, yes.
All right, he went on a show, and it was just girls that wanted to date him. It wasn't even like, you know, marry me at the end like a bachelor. It was like, hey, come date this dude. And, I mean, he just ran through him like it was highly uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
But some girl became famous coming out of it named New York because she was wild and great for TV, quite frankly.
Wow. Okay.
But I don't know how you find these girls. Like, I mean, how do you sell someone on that idea? Oh, by the way, there's this guy and he used to rap and you might know him. He's a guy that wears the clocks around his neck and we're going to do a show, and whoever wins it gets to date him. I mean, that's not even like a big, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Like, say, The Bachelorette does.
Yeah.
We're going to get married, and, you know, you can sell yourself on this is about love. Even though we all secretly know it's about my opportunity to be on TV, we're going to present it as though it's because I'm here to find love. They didn't even try that in this. They're just like, hey, you want to date this dude? And these girls were fighting to do it.
I do know, on that note, though, I was hearing some stories about American Idol, for example. And they will intentionally bypass good singers because they want good TV. They will bring on the people who think they're good and they'll sing horribly and they'll go, "You're good for TV. We're gonna put you on. Yeah, you get the golden ticket to Hollywood mm-hmm. or something. We'll put you up in front of the judges back in the day, Simon and Randy and all them, and see how you do." And they're just gonna get bashed on live TV.
You know, those judges are gone now.
Yeah.
You want to know one of the judges on there who really has not served herself well is Katy Perry. If you're watching, I mean, she comes up, she's very mean.
Every once in a while I've tuned in,
She's very mean and she's very opinionated and she's not kind in how she relates her opinion. Which is not to say she's not doing her job. A judge is oftentimes just that rude. But it surprised me coming from a younger female, beloved in many ways. It surprised me to find out that she is a very mean-spirited person and was more than happy to destroy people's dreams. It really surprised me how she came off on that process.
Well, that was the thing that was missing of those mid-seasons, if you remember. Like, when Simon left, the show went to pieces. They didn't have that mean guy that we loved. Like, I love watching Simon. Do you like watching Simon?
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy good. But then it was just like Steve Tyler, who loved everybody. They all loved everybody. It was like, this isn't the same thing.
I fully agree.
They needed that mean person. It's interesting, though, that, like you said, that they brought up Katy Perry as the one to be the dream crusher, if
right.
you will, though. That's interesting. I think they needed it, but it is interesting.
I understand what you mean about, they must have auditioned and go, "Hey, you got a little bit of bitch in you, and we're making TV, and we need a little bit of that." They must have done that. It surprised me that she did. You know, I don't know her in the least, but through TV, she seems like a perfectly nice and bubbly gal. What can I say? It's my opinion. Doesn't now that I've seen her as a judge. But to focus on this point, Simon was not working a character, and the singing was not the premise of the show. It was secondary to Simon. I mean, you can go anywhere, and they're doing karaoke night. Those are pretty good nights at a bar. It fills up a lot. I mean, people do like to see other people sing. So you've got a little something there as a focus group. This is just huge karaoke in many ways, huge talent show in many ways. But Simon was something special because it was very authentic. And I never found Simon, and I know at the very beginning, I mean, the whole country was talking, even he was like the most hated man. How could you do this? I never really saw that. I saw a guy that came on here and gave news that wasn't pleasant. And sometimes it was constructive, and sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes he'd just bonk him over the head and go, "What are you thinking? Who told you you can't go?" Which is very helpful at times, right? If somebody's putting their life on hold to chase a dream because their parents and their aunt and uncle on Christmas
and
Eve,
grandparents,
told them how great of a voice they had, someone needs to straighten them out at some point. But Simon, it was such a natural fit to where he was kind of looking around going, "What do you guys mean I'm mean?" Yeah, he didn't even know. Or at least this is how it came off. It just came off as so authentic. He became a really terrific character, in my opinion. And I think that the show will survive without him. And I don't know the answer to this as much as I'm going to suggest it. But I bet if we were to go back and check the ratings of when he was on versus now, and I'm sure they're both very good, but I'm also very confident they were better when he was there. That show, in my opinion, was based around him. Much like one of my favorite TV shows, The Office. It's a great, great show with a great, great cast. You take Michael Scott out, you ruin the show.
Definitely.
They took Michael Scott out. They went on a couple more seasons. And they just wrap this up. It's my favorite show. I'm not even going to watch it. It's terrible. Sometimes a show is evolved around a character. More times than not. So there you go.
Yeah. Shall we get into it, though?
I'm ready. I don't even know what we're talking or how we got on this. Though it is kind of fun. I do like when we go down some rabbit holes sometimes. I mean, you can totally talk about punching and kicking so much, you know?
I was asking about Ninja Warrior. That's how we got
Ninja
started.
Warrior. All right. I don't know how to get on Ninja Warrior. There you go. There's my answer. I don't know.
Call Matt. Or Matt, give Chael a call.
Are you just dying for the answer to this question? I mean, if you want the answer,
well,
I'll find out.
If you don't have the answer, I'll accept that. That's fine. But
if you're itching to know, I will do that for you as a favor. If you're like, "Hey, Chael, I really would like to know." Or maybe you're asking for some reason that you haven't disclosed yet. Like, you're thinking about going on Ninja Warrior.
No.
Or your buddy is like, "Hey, ask Chael. Maybe he knows something."
No, I want. I
and
was,
you're not
it
revealing
was,
that to me. I mean, you don't
do,
have
do you
to.
Want
I'll
full
get you.
Do you want full honesty?
You know what? I had a feeling there was more to this.
I just wanted to see how you would do.
Oh, really?
I did. That was why I asked.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's very sweet of you.
Well, yeah.
Spoiler alert. I would win it.
Okay.
Why would I not win it?
Could you get up that wall?
I've never seen the show. I'll get up the wall right now. I'll get up this wall right here in this room.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Okay. I got to pull up a clip later. Anyway, let's get
The answer is yes.
Okay.
For sure. Did somebody else get up the wall?
Oh, it's a it's a common obstacle.
Has the wall ever been climbed?
Yeah, several times.
Well, then, what do you tell? Well, of course I can climb it.
It just stumps some people.
Are you suggesting that somebody could climb a wall and I couldn't?
It's just an interesting wall. You've seen it, right? It's a warped wall. It's like a sea.
No, I have not seen it. So some jobber gets on this thing, some unnamed jobber gets on this show, climbs the wall, and you're wondering if your own yours truly could do it?
I'm just throwing out one obstacle that is an interesting one.
And I'm throwing out to you, I will get up that wall.
Okay.
Next question.
I like hearing that.
What do we got? You know, I saw you were looking at something. What were you reading? The Mario Yamasaki?
Yeah,
piece?
Yeah. So apparently, Big Joe McCarthy is
Big John.
Big John. Oh my gosh.
It's all right.
Joe McCarthy's a Yankees manager from the 50s.
The kids on the underground are going to let you know that. But yep. Go on.
Anyway, he's got this referee camp coming up pretty soon.
Yep.
And I think it's so funny that Mario. If you guys remember, was the guy who let that fight go on,
yep.
And allowed the fighter gal to be a warrior, to
uh-huh.
paraphrase, unquote. He dropped the mention that he would probably attend it, if okay. I'm remembering correctly. And that's all I heard, but I thought that was interesting that he
yeah.
said probably.
Yeah, that's right. And I also saw that. Now I can't – I thought he said I am doing it, but I think it was like
I will confirm that.
Yeah, it might have been like an online course or something. It didn't matter either way. I thought it was great, and I don't think that it's by any means a hidden message that, look, I'm willing to do some PR. I want to rebuild my reputation. That means furthering my education and humbling myself and coming out and starting with, I was wrong and should have stopped
that. Oh, he said that.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he has.
And if that's the starting block, I really respect the humility. I will tell you this, and I'm a Mario supporter. So I guess I should disclose that. I have seen Mario do it right. I don't even know how many times, and do it wrong so few. I also don't know how many times. But it is a trial by fire job, and it's very important that they do get it right. So I want to dismiss that and give anybody a free pass. I will critique them as hard as anyone else. I will just share with you, there isn't very many men who have ever got in there. And by that, I mean humans. We have females doing it too. But there aren't very many men, very many people, that have ever got into a cage fight and had to referee it, had to keep up with all of the different rules and all of the different jurisdictions and municipalities. This is one thing about the ABC. If their rules were just adopted in the end, no matter where you go in the world, much like football, much like basketball, wherever you go, any court you step on, any field, we all know the rules. We all know the time. We don't know how many players can be out there. We don't know what you get points for. We don't know what you can and you cannot do. But we don't know that in MMA. And that is a relevant point by me. Because just take America. And as we know, this sport is not just in America. But let's just take America so that you can understand it. There's 50 states. And at one point meant it was open to 50 different rule sets. Then the ABC came along and did a big consolidation. But that's opted out by several states. So even right now, as good of a spot as the sport is in, you still, if you're an official and a fighter, I suppose I got to follow that too. But if you're an official and a referee, there's a lot you got to keep track of. Where am I? Just by example. And maybe this wasn't the case for Mario, but I want to make this point. It's fun to Monday Morning Quarterback everything. The fighters, the announcers, the ref, the whole thing. But it is also important to understand that's a tough job, and it changes a lot, and it can change in a lot of different states, and there's a lot of emails and a lot of learning and a lot of education. And then once you have that very small pool that we do that could ever raise their hand and go, yeah, I've actually done that. That's the other important thing to remember. When you are critiquing them, that's fun, and you're fine, and you're within your limits to do that. But also just in fairness, keep in mind, I've never done it. So then you're left with, well, I'm quite sure I would react this way. Well, maybe, but maybe not. It's a different thing. I only have a small level of experience, which is I have refereed amateur children's wrestling matches before. And you can relate as an umpire. And you can call it amateur children's wrestling match all you want. You got two guys out there that want to win. They both have coaches who want them to win, and they both have fans and supporters that wanted them to win. And there's rules of the event, and they've all got to be followed. And it's happening in real time right now with no replay. It's a tough job. That's all I'm saying is it's a tough job. So did Mario get it wrong a couple times? Yeah, and so did everyone else. Did Mario get it right a whole bunch of times? Yes, and so did everyone else. Where I'm going with this is if Mario is looking to rebuild and humble himself and take the weight on this one, I think this is a really good starting point. And will people forgive him and he'll get another chance? I hope so.
Well,
that's my hope. I would like to see if a guy comes in and goes, okay, I reviewed it and I'm wrong and here's why. You know, it really does go through a process, and Big John's camp is the most decorated one. Big John is the most respected referee. I think there's something positive there. I want to attempt to influence and change everybody's minds right now today, including my own. But maybe I will influence you and hope that we can all agree that there's something positive there. Is that fair?
That's totally fair. And yeah, I did check, and he says he plans to attend.
Okay.
So that's out there. Here's the thing. You mentioned it, though. Referees make mistakes all the time.
Sure.
It just depends on if they acknowledge it.
I agree.
It's very rare you will see an official acknowledge a mistake. Like, I've made mistakes in games working, and coaches have literally called me out like, what the heck was that? And I just sometimes would shrug. I'm like, hey, I can't change it, but I know I missed it.
Sure.
And they're upset, but they get it. They do get it. They're like, okay, as long as you know you screwed up,
sure,
I'm okay.
Yep.
I hate that you made that call, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I also prefer that posturing that you're suggesting. A lot of people are hesitant to do it because then you deal with jerks on the other side. They go, well, he even admitted it. My gosh, he even admitted it. I mean, in the real world, it's very tough to admit fault because that is, people will deem that as a weakness and run all over you for it. I'm with you. If I'm the coach and you say that to me, we're good. Absolutely. Hey, I got that one wrong and it's too late to take it. Boom, we're good. I'm sitting down. Problem solved. For me, I want you to know what the rule book says, and I want you to know that I know what it says. But once you agree with me, we're good. The scoreboard stands. My kid's going to take
the
weight. The
call probably will never be changed is the thing.
And I really believe, and I think you would agree with me, but I really believe throughout the course of a game, hopefully it could be a whole career, but we can break it into just to a game, any sport you want to do, that it's consistent. So let's say you screw one up and you realize you screwed it up, and now it goes back the other way later in the game, and it's the other team, you got to call it the same way. That I believe that. I know the rules don't say that. You got to call what you see at the time, but there is something to be said.
That is an unwritten rule, yes.
You got to be consistent. And if you got a referee that's consistent, you're not going to have a lot of problems. Over the life of a career.
For sure, yes. Mm-hmm. That's what they ask for.
And that's from little league, middle school, high school, NCAA to the pros. If you just have a guy that calls it the same way every time, okay, we're good.
Even if it's day to day, it's like, uh-huh. can you call it from this team or this guy and this guy? Either way.
Yep.
Exactly.
And that's not just referees. We're talking referees now, but that's everybody. I mean, if you're dealing with a human being in life and they're consistent, you know what you're dealing with, right? I mean, life gets a hell of a lot easier in that regard. So we said a lot of words there, but I do think that as people, we do need to be open. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think maybe you'd be a bad person and want to check yourself for some character flaws if you didn't agree with this. You need to be open to Mario coming back, period. I mean, I really feel that this was a humbling moment for him. It was probably even hard to do. Maybe a little embarrassing to say, hey, I'm going to go take a course. I mean, the guy's done some major work for a long time.
I mean, people take courses, privately all day.
Yeah.
But to say, I screwed up and now this is what I'm doing, what more can we expect from him?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that a lot of people are just going to use this against him. Oh, look, he even said he stopped it too late. He even said he did. And for me, I'm the other way. It's like, yeah, you were wrong, and maybe it took you a little time to come around, but I can't think of very many times in my life. I hear people say this sometimes. I would never do anything different. You want to do things different? What kind of life are you living? I would do everything different. I mean, if I could look back and have the answers now, of course I do. I would have done it right. I would have got it right the first time. I'd have put it on red. I'd have put it on black. I'd have put it on double zero. I'd do everything different. Right? Yeah, I'd marry the same woman, but aside from that, my whole life would be different. Sure it would. What are you talking about? You don't live with regret? What kind of person are you? We can't be friends. You haven't done things you regret? You're not my kind of guy. good for Mario. Beautiful. Wherever this goes, I mean, look, is everything forgotten? No. I don't think he expects it to. Let him go through his process, but let him go through his process. Don't be a dick about it.
Well, hey, you mess up, you become that guy who messed up that.
Sure.
Fight. That's the thing. It just depends on how you bounce back. And there's examples in all kinds of sports of the ref who publicly came out and said, yep, I screwed up. You're always going to be remembered for that one thing. But hey, as long as it's like, okay, yeah, you messed up, let's move on. Then we're good.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Three-time NBA champion B.J. Armstrong has a great new podcast here with Podcast One Sportsnet. Join B.J. and co-host Gerald Brown on their new show, In the Key, as they break down the latest news and happenings in the NBA playoffs, as well as music and entertainment. Check out In the Key every Thursday on Podcast One Sportsnet and Apple Podcasts. Also remember to rate and review. We always appreciate your feedback.
Now, back to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
I got to ask you, and only tell me if you know the answer. Frank Mir said something, that his next fight isn't going to be in Bellator, that it's going to be in the ABC.
ACB, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, the commission versus the fight promotion. ACB. Is that accurate?
That is, as far as what I read, accurate. Yes. He is not fighting in Bellator.
Okay. That's fine. That's unusual to me. That will be unusual to our listeners. Frank does have a bit of a conflict of interest. He disclosed it. He is an ACB commentator. And so he had a relationship with them when he came to Bellator. I'm trying to rework the puzzle of how he would have sat down and got this done through Scott Coker, who's going to go, hey, I'm doing an exclusive deal with you. You're in the heavyweight tournament. You get past Fedor. I'm expecting you to come in and fight. But maybe he said, look, if I win, I continue in the tournament. If I lose, I have the option to go over here. Because I imagine the ACB probably put a lot of pressure on him, too, and go, Frank, you're a commentator. What do you mean? You know, you're coming over here. I went through that a little bit. I was the World Series of Fighting commentator. And I signed a fight in Bellator. And they were very upset. And I even called them, and I was a little bit confused. Well, I'm a little lost here. I did a deal with Coker to fight. He knows I'm your commentator. That's in the deal. I wrote that in the deal. I didn't double-cross anyone. And they go, what are you double-cross? You're going and giving him fights. You didn't even call us and offer us your services, which is also true. So I just imagine Frank was in that same spot. And so maybe he did get what's called a carve-out, where he could carve out his exclusive agreement to go over there. I'm finding it hard to believe, but he does have a relationship. Maybe he's going to do that.
You know what I've also found interesting, though, about the whole heavyweight Grand Prix is who the losing fighters, where they go next, has been really fascinating to me. Because there's that whole hype around the whole Grand Prix, and everyone's concentrated on the next winners. But then it's where the losers are going that
sure.
I find really, because they're not going to go away, but what are they doing next? Especially you were mentioning just the other day and have mentioned before, Bader and Mo are probably, I would not be surprised at all, if they're going to fight again. That would make perfect sense
they're
if they want to.
They're ranked 1 and 2.
They have to fight again. That's the interesting part. But then there might be some layover, like let's say, I'll just throw out, if Bader wins, if Mo has to kind of just wait around for a year, I don't see that happening.
No.
So he's got to fight someone else. But if he loses, that throws that whole story out the window.
Throws that title shot off. I see what you're saying. I hadn't thought of it in that perspective, that Bader's tied up, so the rematch can't happen, and Mo just remains number one contender. Did you see there's talk? So Nick and Nate Diaz allegedly are coming back. I tend to believe that rumor without looking into it at all. I never called up Nate or Nick, but I just tend to believe that. I never thought those guys were going away for forever. They never said we're going away forever. So that could be good news. That'll be a lot of fun if that's true. And then Eddie Alvarez is looking to rematch Poirier, but is in some kind of a contract dispute. which generally infuriates me, as you know. But, man, when you got the most violent man in the UFC, give him whatever he wants. And of course, I don't mean that. I don't mean that as a literal statement. I don't know what Eddie's contract is, but Eddie just doesn't strike me as a guy that's ever asked for anything. I mean, I'd be stunned if I found out behind the scenes Eddie's a pain in the ass and needs an extra hotel room and a couple extra tickets to every show. I don't think Eddie's ever asked for anything. And he's fought some hammers, man. He's done some big stuff, so... Maybe I'm doing a little bit of an about face here for my usual self that hates renegotiations midway. But how do you tell Eddie Alvarez? No, don't let Eddie Alvarez go. That's my message to you.
I
do not undervalue Eddie Alvarez. And if you are undervaluing him, your analysts need to explain that to you, because there's no way the analytics department at the UFC is coming up short on Eddie. That's my opinion.
I think I saw that Nate said he was coming back in August-ish, something around
there. And Nate says about Nate, about himself,
about
or about
himself,
Eddie?
Okay. About himself, yes. This is interesting.
Don't tell me you want to see Eddie and Nate.
I was going to say
Are
that.
Are you going to say that? Yeah.
Fun. See, you read my mind.
Yeah, fun. Do some incredible business.
Well, that's...
But don't we owe it to... I'm sorry to cut off your thought, but don't we owe it to Nate... Does he have to fight the most violent man in the company right out of the gate? He has been off for a while.
Well, for a while, wasn't Nate Diaz the most violent man?
Not officially by title.
Well, because Eddie invented it and gave it to himself.
I understand, but we're going to honor it around here, man. That was a brilliant marketing move, and we're going to give him that one. But, Nate would take the fight. No way around it. Nate would take the fight. It's just, does he have to? Is that where we have to go with Nate right now?
We're
going to
give you the worst fight of your life.
Yeah, well, matchup-wise, I mean, you got a guy that's been very busy in some major contests against a guy that's been out. Let's be a little bit fair to Nate, who's been out, who I think thought he was going to come back and fight Connor. I think he has been training for Connor. I do have inside reason to believe that. I'm just saying, you know what I'm trying to say. Give him Eddie. My goodness.
I do. It's a rough entry back, but it's a fun one. If he gets over on Eddie, can you imagine how big that would be?
Yeah. Oh, forget it. No, it would do great business. Nate could do great with Eddie. Eddie could do great with Nate. I'm not weighing in on that. I'm just saying you are taking a guy who's been out a little bit, and we do know that with history, you got to warm your way. You got to dip your toe in the pool a little bit.
So would you say Nate versus, say, Gaethje or someone like that? Or even Barboza?
You could put Nate in. Okay. Now, that could be interesting. A stand-up fighter versus stand-up fighter? Yeah. I don't have any problem with any of the matchmaking you just did, even though I'm resisting it. I like them all. I do like them all. But I will say, Eddie's active. Eddie's done 3-4 training camps since Nate was in there last. That matters. That's a relevant point. Eddie is, any day of the week, a number one contender. So is Poirier. So is Kevin Lee, right? We've discussed. But this right now has never been closer. You are splitting hairs at that division. It has never been a tighter race for number one in mixed martial arts history than it is right now. And now you're telling me you're going to bring Nate back in? Wow. And where's Nate going to go? Is he going to go at 55 or is he going to go at 70? That's another part of it. Are we even discussing the right weight class for him?
It would be very interesting if he stayed at 155. I'd prefer to see that because it would make it that much more interesting. It would be a longer resolution if it ever got resolved at all. But the payoff would be mind-blowingly big.
And you know what? Are we misremembering this? I think we might be misremembering because he fought Connor at 170 the mm-hmm. first time. When he starched Connor, Connor demanded everything's the same. And Dana goes, oh, no, we'll do the same thing with 155. No, Dana. This is a personal thing for me to overcome and climb this mountain. Don't do me any favors. And he went back and fought him again at 170. So with that in mind, I guess Nate is a 70-pounder. I mean, if we're looking at his last couple
of
fights.
Well, he can do both.
Yeah, that's right. He can do both.
Well, so why is he getting matched at 155?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think perhaps everyone's wrong, including you and I, in thinking of him as a 55-pounder.
He'd be amazing down there.
I'm well aware, but it doesn't change the problem. If he's not going back down there, then there's no point in us discussing him down there. Right? Tyron Woodley's called him out at 170. If the champ calls you out, boom.
Didn't Dana shut that one down, though?
Yeah, he did. He did. But now all of a sudden you got an interim title and you got a mess there. And I don't really have an update on what Woodley's doing. Dana said something like he offered him a fight and found out that he was injured. I never got an answer on that. What's hurting Tyron? When's the comeback? What's estimate? I don't know. That was kind of one of those things that was just kind of kept quiet. And the next thing you knew with Tyron in the headline was he was going to start training Floyd for MMA, which was a fake. It was just a headline. But, I just mean, they kept that secret really well. I don't know. I don't know what happened to T-Wood. Where's the champ, man?
Well, if you're going to talk about rough entries, I mean, Nate versus Tyron is kind of a a joke anyway. I'd prefer the Eddie fight over that one.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but now we're starting to get off course. Like, you know, like we're saying Nate can't defend himself. Nate Diaz can take care of himself.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I just want someone to force him to be smart before he gets in his own way. You know, hey, Nate, you've been out for a second. You've been out for a second. So before we jump in there with Tyron, before, you know, let's think about it. And he would say, no, nothing to think about. Money's right, boom. Give me whoever. I know what he's going to say. I'm devil advocating his own bravado. He's not going to listen to me. But he's not. But that's why I'm telling it to you instead of to him. Right? You're at least listening. He won't even, how's everything out there in Oregon? Yeah, it's good. Hey, listen, about the Eddie fight. You know, hey, what do you think about? Yeah. Go enjoy your rain. Click. I know how that call's going to go. So anyway, one other topic. What do we have?
Well, did you see that Pettis and Chiesa have been moved to 226?
Surprised me and disappointed me in some ways.
Why? Because you wanted to see a headline?
And you want to know why? Chiesa's hurt. Chiesa fights for money. Chiesa has some kind of a lawsuit, I would imagine, against Connor. I also imagine Connor's attorneys are quickly going to say, well, yeah, we're not coming through on that. If you're good enough to go into training camp to get back in the cage, what are you doing filing a motion against us? Which will hold up amongst the jury. Because they won't understand that as Chiesa sees it in the positions he's in, he has no other choice but to go to work. And he's facing this adversity like a man, quietly and pushing through in the end. So it did kind of surprise me that he was jumping in there so fast. That's my two cents on that. I have a little bit more info. I was with him over the weekend. I got to look at him. I got to look at his eye and the injured eye. And
interesting.
Yeah, he got hurt that day.
Yeah. We were just talking about this, though, with the other day. You got to push forward, though.
You have to push forward.
Yeah.
Particularly in his spot. Well, what's he supposed to do? But I'm just saying, but that those lawyers are going to use that against him. So this is the balance. You know, what do I want to do? I don't have the right answer to that. I just know what he is doing. You know?
Uh-huh.
And he's fit. He can pass all the tests. He can go in there and fight. I'm just saying but he suffered an injury.
Does that dampen the fight for you?
No.
As far as the actual competition?
No. You want to look on the bright side of things of seeing these two? No, that is a killer fight. I was so disappointed when that got called off. I called that, and you may remember, I said that's the fight of the night. You could talk about your main events and your Max versus Khabib, and I'm in for that. That's all awesome. And the Rose and Joanna, you know, I'll do all these. That's the fight of the night. Chiesa versus Pettis. That's a war. Guaranteed I'm right, too. Well, how do you guarantee? I bet you, man, I'm right. When this fight goes down, whoa, that's going to be an epic battle. I really think that.
Even with Chiesa having a black eye.
Yeah, no, even with him have that. No, I'm not saying it physically diminished. I think he's in a very unfair spot right now. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
I do not think that the laws, some of the hardships that MMA fighters go through that no one's ever going to, you know, cry for a professional athlete. But there are hardships there, whether people want to believe it or not. And Michael Chiesa is in an unfair spot in that he did not deserve that. He was sitting there minding his own business. He just didn't deserve that. He's in a tough spot. That's all I wanted to say on that.
Sucks.
Hey, yeah, thank you for that, Jay. Very eloquent.
You're welcome.
I spent 2 minutes on that, and you summed up your thoughts by saying, sucks. Hey, guys, as a professional fighter that has to put up with Jacob every day, it is crucial that I am paying attention to my post-fight and post-workout recovery. If you're engaging in just the heaviest, most intense workout, you know that omega-3s go a long way in alleviating joint pain and muscle soreness. Well, check out what Old Chael is bringing you from our friends at Omax. Omax 3 Ultra Pure is the purest omega-3 supplement on the market, containing nearly 94% high-quality omega-3s. And not only do omega-3s help you with post-workout recovery, but they can also improve focus, boost cardiovascular health, and sharpen your memory. So it makes absolute sense to take the purest concentration on the market. Omax 3 comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have plenty of time to try it out and feel if it's really making a difference for you. Get over to tryomax.com/Chael today to get a box of Omax 3 Ultra Pure for free. Again, tryomax.com/Chael to get your free box of Omax 3. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you see that Joanna has her new fight lined up?
Yeah, who'd she get? Tisha?
Tisha Torres.
And they got some kind of heat, right? Didn't Tisha start a little something with her? There's some kind of backstory there.
I'm not exactly caught up on the details, no. But I didn't hear about that as all the way through.
That's fine. I was relieved in a couple of ways. Good for Joanna. What a great sign that she jumps right back on the horse. No hang my head and no poor me and all this stuff that we're seeing, you know, these prima donnas do. Now, that disappoints me. Fighter gets back up. That's what it means. It's not about the punches and the kicks. It's about moving forward. It's what it's always meant. It's a term that has been corrupted over my lifetime. I was also happy as a fan because there is a drastic change in 1 and 2, which are her and Rose, down to 3 and 4 and 5. And it's that way in several divisions. Daniel Cormier and John Jones really stuck out. And you might even be able to throw a Gustafson in there, or you would have to throw Gustafson in there. With the absence of Rumble, you take a big step down to get to the rest. Some divisions are that way. But because it is so glaring in that weight class, I did fear in some ways we're just going to see that fight again. But I like history and precedence. And the history of fighting says if you do 2 fights and you didn't split them, you don't do the 3rd. Right?
True.
You don't, at least not right now.
Yeah.
So I was very happy with that. And good for Tisha. Because as much as I want to say as it's Joanna and Rose, Tisha has something else to say. And Tisha's very tough. And Tisha's going to get her opportunity. And there's no way around it. If she beats Joanna, there's no discussion for who's the number one contender for Rose.
Exactly.
That's where that division's at, right?
Exactly.
And we're sitting over here talking about 155 in the males. We don't know. It is a toss-up. It is throw a dart at a wall. And does it land on Kevin or Dustin or does Tony come back? Where's the world's most violent man? Where's, you know, what's Connor doing? Fine. Wherever it lands, we'll take it. But not in that weight class. She gets over on JJ. That's it. Sign it that night. And nobody will disagree. The competitors won't. The promoters won't. The fans listen to this. No, everybody just goes, yeah, that's just the way this is going to work. Which is a cool spot for Tisha.
Brave of Joanna, too, because you would imagine the idea of, hey, there's a gap between 2 and 3. I'm not fighting 3 or 4 or 5, 6. I think Tisha's at 7 in that range.
Is she?
I think so. That's bold of JJ to just go, you know what? I'm going to take a break from trying to do these title fights, and I'll just work my way back up. I'll act like I'm a number 6 or ranked 5 fighter and then work my way back up so that I can get that title shot again.
Right.
And it looks legitimate. I had to applaud that, too.
Yeah. No, I hear you on that. Those rankings can be a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, you see why.
Yeah, totally.
All rankings can. I mean, you know, the NCAA will have multiple undefeated teams. Someone's got to go at 1, and someone's got to go, and someone's, you know, at 2, and someone's got to go at 3. However they come up with that, we all have to just accept it. It's largely a popularity vote. It's a perception. It's nothing that's proved. They didn't go head-to-head, which is why they both have goose eggs, or all 3 of them have goose eggs. They haven't played. So, well, common opponent or, well, you know, I like their uniforms more. I mean, it can be the silliest things. Well, their crowds are bigger. Or it can be the silliest things that create a perception of something bigger and better. Once that gets written down the first time, you go play a few more weeks, they're still all undefeated. Well, now you can't change it. You can't go, you know what, I had it wrong. Wisconsin should be one and Michigan should be two. I had that wrong. No, you can't. Once it's written down, once it becomes official, if nobody loses, they don't stumble in their rankings. So you run into some of those problems. So, yeah, you get a 7-1 or a 7-2. Yeah, it goes that way. I mean, it just goes that way sometimes where, you know, there's controversy, there's dialogue. I remember when they came out with those rankings, I was such a supporter, and I still am because it's important for sport. And as MMA was growing, it was important that it did have a ranking system. And they did have some kind of a pool to do that. And ultimately, you make the fights the fans want to see. But then you need to observe this own monster that you created called a ranking system. Even when the fight the fans don't want to see becomes your 1 and 2 ranked people. Sometimes you got to throw that in. Then you can go back to 90% of the time, just the biggest fight. And then to observe the rankings, you go to that a little bit to keep your integrity, because that's the point. But it is also accurate by me to say the promoters created this and then kind of had that gun turned back on themselves. And those rankings are so, so debatable, you know, because the MMA media is so bad. They're so bad. They're so bad from an uneducated standpoint. That's okay. I don't subscribe to the fighters should be referees and fighters should be judges and fight. I don't believe. Well, you've never done it. How can you know? Nah, I don't believe in that. And Dana White, who's never done it, Scott Coker, who has never done it, right? Roger Goodell, who never played. I mean, you see the examples that are out there where, no, you don't have to have done it to fully understand it. That's not true. But I would argue that it is very shameful how influenced they can be. They are supposed to come out with an integrity and a belief in what they do, with a stance of their understanding of what it is they just saw and what was presented in front of them, and report on it. Now, as much as it's about the MMA media, we say it all the way up, but I will see the MMA media get it so incredibly wrong, but they were influenced by somebody higher up in the MMA food chain, and they will go and report whatever was told to them based on faith. And faith in society is always presented as a wonderful word. The definition of faith is belief in the absence of evidence. So they will go out and report on things in the absence of evidence. But it came from somebody who they felt beholden to. And then they went out and reported it. And I see this all the time. I see them talk about, you know, one athlete or, you know, everything will be. But we're talking about the rankings. This is where I'm going. This isn't meant to just bury the media. That deserves to be buried. But it's not about that as much as when you have the media doing the athletes' rankings. I will hear the media say the most repulsive and ridiculous things. Jacob, you will have media members now with pride, with integrity, with the conch in their hand of knowledge of the sport, talk about finishing a fight. Well, this guy won 5 fights, but this guy won 5 fights, but this guy finished them all, so therefore he's better. And they will say it with absolute confidence and vigor when they say it. I can remember in 2005, the first time Dana White spoke those words, finish your opponent. It was not only met with resistance, it was cringeworthy. Everybody's going, oh my God, the only time I ever hear the term finish him is in the movies when they get ready to kill somebody, to chop his head off with a sword, finish him. And he was using that term, and the whole media was like, oh my God, we could never write that. I can't believe he just said that. I remember the room the first day he broke out those words in this sport, finish him. It was only 13 years ago. That's not that long. He kept saying it, and all of a sudden, the media started absorbing it, and now they write it, and now they let it influence their decision-making. This guy finished more fights than this guy, but these are the guys that are doing the rankings. They don't have any knowledge, and they're at least aware of that. They don't have any courage, and they don't have the integrity to come up with their own code and set of rules, and they let them get it dictated to them. I only offer that. I could give you five more examples of how bad they are. I'm offering you this one to prove my point, but I could keep going. But they are so easily influenced and so weak. The pound-for-pound greatest fighter in the world was George St. Pierre. Not because I say so. It should be because I say. If I say it, then it should just be written down. Right? That should be the way it is. But we'll allow that for not to be gospel, okay? He was ranked number one. He was the world champion. He never lost. You want to know who was ranked number four? Anderson Silva. This is not Chael speaking out against his problems in the past with Anderson Silva. This is a very fair point, and I'm telling you the way this happened. Anderson was ranked four. I don't remember who two and three were. Dana had come out to a press conference. He said, no, Anderson's the greatest fighter in the world. I don't know how you've got him at four, and GSP's great too, and so is number two, and so is number three, but Anderson's the best. And the whole media just goes, okay, then Anderson's the best. So GSP, without losing a fight, falls from one to two. Again, I don't know who two and three ever were, so I don't know what happened. And Anderson goes from four to one. Anderson may have belonged at one the whole time. He may have. But he was ranked four. And without doing anything, the MMA media that refuses to have their own code of conduct, own level of integrity, and checks and balances, just writes him down at number one. And history will now refer. I hear it all the time. Greatest fighter to ever live. Greatest pound-for-pound fighter of all time. Anderson Silva. Which could be true. But had Dana not came out of that press conference that day and explained to them, no, Anderson's won, not George, that narrative never would have been created. And it wasn't created based on his merits. He did not walk out there and do a specific fight and something happened. It happened at a press conference. It did. This is the way it happened. You decide if they got the rankings right. That's okay. I win the argument without question that that's what weaklings were dealing with in this sport. What absolute lack of integrity weaklings we deal with in the sport that have no code or ethics of conduct, that do not know what they're looking at when they see it. They don't understand it. And when they go around and perpetuate a narrative of finish him, that was a cringeworthy term, an unpublishable term, an unbroadcastable term at the time. It was, in fairness, it was. When he coined it, it disappoints me. And these are the same guys that are handling the rankings that you and I are talking about. So you see the problems with the rankings, where sometimes you have to do 2 versus 7. And you have to take into account the people that are turning these numbers in. And if you don't like 2 versus 7, hold a press conference and tell them, hey, that number 7 should be 3. And she will be, or he will be, the next day. Because they don't have the balls to handle it themselves.
Did they just watch Fedor's fight where he finished Mir in 48 seconds? Does that make Fedor a bad fighter because he didn't actually fight the whole fight?
Well,
using their logic.
Using their logic, yeah. I mean, I don't have any idea. You know, you don't ever know what they're looking for.
Well, here's the thing, too. Do you remember back? I remember this getting headlines when the NCAA tournament was ranking their top 64 teams to play March Madness. They had the Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice as one of the committee people who was choosing who got to go, and everyone was like, "You're kidding, right? She might be a fan, but why is she here? Are you trying to add legitimacy to how we do this?"
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah, I was going, What? I get media writers getting some say. I understand athletes. I understand coaches. Why are you bringing in this lady?
That
She's
is interesting.
She's probably good at her job, but why are you bringing her in as selecting sports teams?
I hear what you're saying. I don't know what the answer is. I could only guess.
I'm adding to your point.
Yeah. Condoleezza was a woman of integrity, had a good reputation. I believe she was a lawyer. I mean, she's back from the Bush days. I remember her very clearly, but I couldn't tell you her resume. I couldn't tell you her resume off the top of my head. But that was probably it. They probably go, well, look, this is something we want integrity on. I'm guessing they deemed her to have integrity. I don't know.
She got to choose who was
question.
One of the teams who
sure.
moved on.
Yeah,
I had to wonder that.
All right. You got any other points? Anything else we should cover? I got to look into that Frank Mir news. I don't know about that. Him fighting in the ACB, that would surprise me, but he does have that relationship. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But do you know what it actually means? The same goes for invoice, list price, dealer's price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're truly looking for is a price that actually means something. Well, let me introduce you to True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories. Before you even get to the dealership, True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home. So how do you know if the true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want, and your certified dealers know this. So they will set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Jacob, I do have one thing to tell you. Guess what July 20th is?
July 20th?
Mark it in your calendar, my man. It is the smack-off.
Oh, dang.
Oh, dang.
He announced it.
He announced it yesterday.
Okay.
Smack-Off 2018 is July 20th.
Is that a Friday?
How did you possibly know that?
Because that's when he normally does it. I'm just also planning.
Does he?
I think so, yeah. It's usually on a Friday.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if that's right. That's very impressive that you knew it was a 20. Unless it is always a Friday, then I'll be less impressed. But at any rate, July 20th, mark it down, Smack-Off, Rome. I'm coming back at that title. We're Friday. We'll enjoy the weekend, everybody. Jacob and I will recap anything that you might have missed right here next Wednesday. For Jacob, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you, of course, are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
There's never a dull week in the world of professional wrestling, so to keep up on all of it, be sure to subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast here at Podcast One. I produce two new shows each week. Every Thursday on our flagship show, I'm joined by a co-host from the wrestling journalism field to talk about the hot topics in WWE and elsewhere. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff, talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.